Radio, brought to you by Blog and Broadcasting Service. I'm Denise Nelson, your net reporter. If you have any questions or something you'd like to report, you can give us a call. I'm going to give you this number. I'll also give these numbers out a little bit later on tonight, too. I love it when anybody, you know, calls in, so feel free to. The phone number is, for the U.S., 1-888-268-4313. Once again, that's 1-888-268-4313. And our international number is 1-530-876-3222. Once again, that's 530-876-3222. We ask if you call in, just please state your first name and the state that you live in. No anonymous calls, and please don't give us any specifics about yourself or where you reside. And if you want airtime to express any political views, give us a call. The location for posting notes and links for the news is tntradio.blogspot.com. And once again, that's tntradio.blogspot.com. You can go there. You can go onto that website, and you can find our notes for the shows that we do, along with the websites that we may bring up during the show. So if you didn't get a chance to write something down, go to the tntradio.blogspot.com, and you'll find everything there. Except, never knows that sometimes I'm a little late with that, and I get in big trouble. So, but I'm getting better. Well, I am just really, really grateful to be here tonight. I've been a little under the weather, and I'm feeling better, and I'm actually feeling wonderful. Before the radio show tonight, actually, was about, I'm in California, beautiful California. It's actually raining right now. It just started raining the last couple of days here. It's been getting just amazingly cloudy and looking like it wants to just dump rain, and then it just breaks up and the sun comes out, and then it comes back and it gets trying to rain. Kind of like what I feel is going on within my heart and my soul lately. I know we're Mercury's in retrograde, and I'm in it too, along with everybody else. And it just feels like, you know, the clouds are kind of coming in, and then you feel like you want to release, and you can't quite do it. And then you feel a little better, and then it comes, the waves come in again. If any of you can relate with what I'm feeling, we're all in this together. And now it looks like it's going to start raining. That usually means I'm going to feel better anyway. I wanted to take a moment tonight to talk a little bit about BBS radio and TNT radio. We're in the time I brought up before, and I will tell you again, I believe this is my truth. So it's my truth. It doesn't have to necessarily be anybody that's listening, but I believe we're in the time of the great shift. To me, the great shift is a shift in consciousness, a shift within our planet. We are all going through a process that I call, use the word ascension, moving into the fourth and fifth dimension on our planet, in our inner world and our outer world. And it's the goal, I believe, of BBS radio, TNT radio, all of us, to be a part of that with you. And I was thinking tonight how amazingly fortunate we are. Of course, it's not an accident, because God always gives us everything we need in every moment. BBS radio is an amazing, amazing venture we've got going on here, and I'm just so proud to be a part of it. If you look at the amazing guests that are coming on to the show, we've got every bit of information, any kind of help that you may need, anything that you're going through, feeling, thinking about, you can click on there, go down, look at the schedule of events going on with the shows and the people coming on. You can read their bios, go to their websites. There is so much information. So no one needs to be without information. And this is a wonderful website to go to. If you're listening to the radio right now, I know you know what it is, but I'll say it once again, Blogin Service, www.bloginservice.com. And I can't say enough about it and the people that are a part of it. And I'm honored to be here with you tonight. I'm glad to be here with you tonight. So I mentioned that. I also just want to mention real quick, I am going to have a new radio show also on BBS. It's going to be on Sundays at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And it's called The New Now. Of course it is. We're in the new now. So that's what it's going to be called. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to bringing on some exciting guests. Talking about the shift, what we're going through, maybe even every week, exactly what's been going on that week. And it's going to be, I think, a great show, informative, and a lot of fun, and a lot of heart. My goal in doing all of this that I do is coming from within my heart. I'll tell you real briefly. For me, what started, of course, I've been on this journey since I was in my 20s, and I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm 53 and a grandmother and a mother of three grown children. And boy, these new children are great too, by the way. I wrote a little thing about the crystal children. I might tell you about that later. Anyway, my purpose in telling you about that is that, oh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, well, live radio, I guess that's okay. No one's going to get upset with me. I just lost where I was going. Okay, well, we'll just skip that. If anybody wants to call it and remind me where I was, feel free. Okay, here's a little thing about my show. That's what I was talking about. Okay, a couple years back, it's been about a couple years now, I had a pretty traumatic event in my life, as we all do. And this one was very traumatic. I've had many, and this was the biggest. This was the big one. And I was driving down my hill one day. I live up on top of a hill. And I was driving down to work at my son's home. And as I was driving down, of course, I was in amazing emotional pain. And I asked out loud, you know, what is this all about? Please, you know, help me. And as I was driving, I heard this voice for the very first time. It came in and it said very loudly, "Trust me." And it just shook me. A voice I hadn't really ever heard, and it was loud, and it was very firm. "Trust me." And I was so stunned. Actually, that night when I got home, I called my best friend, and I said, "You're not going to believe this. I heard this today." And that was the beginning of my inner journey of hearing and listening. I knew right then that I had asked, and I had been answered. And it began a journey 2 years ago of asking and being answered. And that journey has brought me quite a ways, and I'm here right now because of that. So I wanted to share a little bit about that with you. It's just a very small insight, but it gives you an idea. Also to let you know that all we have to do is go in and ask and then listen, and you will get your answers. Okay, this news show is a place where listeners can join together to think not only about what's happened in current events, but also how those events influence and affect our individual thinking, feeling, and creating on a daily or even minute-by-minute basis. This show will provide an opportunity to acknowledge that process on a very personal level, reminding us that our very thoughts will help create new and improved current events. This is the TNT Radio Hour, and I do go to the blog. This is about news that people are talking about mostly on the blog. So I usually will go and see what comes into my heart that I feel that is an important topic for discussion for the night. Our country is a great country, and when we all come together, we do make a difference, whether in port deals or foundation support. We'll focus on at least one event every show that provides a link or explores an idea of how to become involved in a positive way regarding that event. I'll tell you that sometimes it takes a 2x4 to hit us in the head to get our attention. And I believe we are being bombarded with 2x4s. The truth in every area is starting to come out, and I just am welcoming it. I know it won't always be a wonderful experience, but it's necessary. We need to just see it, embrace it, own it, and transcend it. Those are the keys to the kingdom, and that's what we are doing. I once again got on the TV listening to the regular reporters of the news, and I'll tell you, it's getting a little bit better. There's a couple. I'll say one more time, Lou Dobbs is doing a wonderful job. I also read something that Montel Williams had a show on last week. I believe Lou Dobbs was on the show. They were getting to the truth of the matters, and people are getting angry. And that's okay for them. For me, that's not, anger isn't the way to approach what I'm seeing out there. And yet I know that if we don't, these people that do get angry and do get on and make a point of what's going on, we'll go nowhere. And so we'll even honor the anger tonight. I'll even honor anger tonight. Okay, one little story before I get to the main story. On Friday in the Situation Room, Wolf Blitzer on CNN, this was Friday, March 17th, he had a guest on Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. He's the former chief of staff for Colin Powell. This show was quite amazing. During the initial days of the war, he was the chief of staff actually during the initial days of the war for Colin Powell. He was interviewed on Friday, and a few of the things I just wrote down here that he had said. He said he felt it was time to come out with the truth about the intelligence regarding WMDs, weapons of mass destruction. How many times have we been hearing that? WMD. And the lies that were given to the American public. Now, this is Colin Powell's chief of staff when he was in office. Wolf asked him if he thought he had lied to the American public, or who he had thought had lied to the American public about the WMDs, the weapons of mass destruction. He admitted that Douglas Feist in Vice President Dick Cheney's office was, and this is in quotes, cherry-picked. They had cherry-picked the intelligence. That was his wording. Wolf also asked him if, since going public, his relationship with Colin Powell was becoming strained. And he said that this is his words. He admitted it was, but only because former Secretary of State Colin Powell is working on it behind the scenes, not in such a public arena. Oh, there goes my call waiting. What can I tell you? I have a home office. Hope you guys can still hear me. I feel that after seeing the recent polls, and in my opinion, that America's beginning to wake up, and it's my duty to come forward. So this was, once again, Colonel Lawrence Wilkinson. He was on the Wolf Blitzer show, and he used the words wake up. I almost fell off my chair, and that is what he said, and that he felt it was his duty to come forward. I believe I talked about this in my last radio show. There is so much light, huge amounts of light coming into our planet now. For people, I don't know a lot of scientific terms. There are wonderful people out there that are very knowledgeable in those things. I'm not, but I know it's here. I know it's huge. I can feel it in my heart and my soul. I can see it when I look out, and the trees look different. The sky looks different. Everything looks more light, more alive. Everybody, I think you know of the things that are going on with our sun and the inner core. And the earth is getting ready to ascend right along with us. And there's a lot of light coming in. And as light comes in, and I can tell you this now from my own personal experience, I can only share it with you because I have experienced it. As these waves of light come in, when light comes in large amounts, what it does is it creeps into every little corner, nick and corner of every room, every place on the planet where we are. Anything that is unlike it has to come up. And that is why we are seeing so much truth in every area. Like I said before on my other show, people are jumping off the fence. They've been sitting there for a long time. They're starting to feel that they can come out and tell their truth because they see the administration starting to buckle. A lot of people are feeling more and more comfortable with coming out with what's in their hearts and souls, what they've been hanging on to, and what they need to get out to us. And this is the beginning of it. I believe we're going to see more, and I know we're going to see more and more of it. Another one that I believe I've mentioned before, The Da Vinci Code, is the movie is going to be a stepping stone to a lot of truth to come out about ways we've been lied to, about who we are, where we came from, what we really are. That's why I always tell you guys, we're sweet souls of light divine, and that we truly are. That is what we are. And when we remember that and we come from that place, we change our lives and the world outside of us. So, next big story was last night on 2020 on CBS. This is posted on the Trusted News Trader right there on blog and service. You can go and it's in the blog there. You go to the Trusted News Trader and look down. You'll see a report on this. But I'm going to read this to you tonight. I feel it's that important. And this was about, CBS. A government scientist, James Hansen, is taking a risk. He says there are things the White House wants you to hear, does not want you to hear, but he's going to say them anyway. Hansen is arguably the world's leading researcher on global warming. He's the head of NASA's top institute with climate. This eminent scientist told correspondent Scott Pelley that the Bush administration is restricting him, so he has not been able to talk and editing everything that he says. Politicians, he says, are rewriting science. James Hansen is a government scientist for, I believe it's NASA, I'll read here more, one of the top ones. He didn't hold back speaking to Pelley, talking 60 minutes about what he knows. Asked if he believes the administration is censoring what he can say to the public. This is about global warming. I'm sorry I didn't bring that up before. I may have led you somewhere you didn't know where we're going. This is about global warming. Hansen says, or there, whether or not I can say it. I mean, I say what I believe if I'm allowed to say it. What James Hansen believes is that global warming is accelerating He points to the melting Arctic and to areas where new data show massive losses of ice to the sea. Is it fair to say at this point that humans control the climate? Is that possible? There's no doubt about that, says Hansen. The natural changes, the speed of the natural changes is now the changes that humans are making to the atmosphere and to the surface. Those human changes, he says, are driven by burning fossil fuels that pump out greenhouse gases like, I can't read that. I think it says CO dioxide. Hansen says his research shows that man has just 10 years to reduce greenhouse gases before global warming reaches what he calls a tipping point and becomes unstoppable. He says the White House is blocking his message and has been for quite a while. In my more than three decades in the government, I've never witnessed such restrictions on the ability of censored communication with the public, says Hansen. No surprise. Restrictions like this email Hansen's Institute received from NASA in 2004. There is a new review process. The White House is now reviewing all climate-related press releases. Why the scrutiny of Hansen's work? Well, this Goddard Institute for Space Studies is a source of respected, sobering research on warming. It recently announced 2005 was the warmest year on record. Hansen started more than 30 years ago, spending nearly all his time studying the Earth. How important is his work? 60 Minutes says someone at the top, Ralph Cicerone, I'm sorry if I don't pronounce these names right, president of the nation's leading institute of science, the National Academy of Sciences, says, I can't think of anybody who I would say is better than Hansen. You might argue that there's two or three that are good, but nobody better. And Cicerone, who's an atmospheric chemist, said the same thing every leading scientist told 60 Minutes. Climate change is happening. Asked what is causing the changes, Cicerone says it's greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide and methane, chlorofluorocarbons, and a couple of others, which are all on the increase in their concentrations in the air and in human activities. Annoyed by the ambiguity, Hansen went public a year and a half ago, saying this about the Bush administration at the University of Iowa. I find a willingness to listen only to those portions of scientific results that fit predetermined, inflexible positions. This, I believe, is a recipe for environmental disaster. Since then, NASA's been keeping an eye on Hansen. NASA let Pelley sit down with him, but only with a NASA representative taping the interview. Other interviews have been denied. I object to the fact that I'm not able to freely communicate via the media, says Hansen. National Public Radio wanted to interview me, and they were told they would need to interview someone at NASA headquarters, and a comment was made that they didn't want Jim Hansen going on the most liberal in America. The decision should be made on that. I don't believe the decision should be made on that kind of basis. I think we should be able to communicate what we're finding directly to the public. Should we simply be doing our science and reporting it rigorously, or to what degree is the administration have the right to assume you should be cannot be a spokesman for the administration? And it goes on to talk about how they have been sending these reports to the Bush administration, and they have been letting them know what is going on. The main flux of this is that Hansen is saying that we have 10 years to turn around what we're doing with the fossil fuels, or we will come to what is called a tipping point. Now, a tipping point to them, in scientific terms and in my understanding, is when you reach a critical mass, when you reach a certain point where even 1.1 of a degree change causes a major reaction. And they have been not allowing this information to come out. They even showed on this report, it was amazing last night, I know a lot of people did see it, how they send in their findings, and they get them back, and they cross out and delete anything that they did not want us to know. They change the wording, and this has been going on for quite a long time. So it was quite an eye-opener. Not a surprise to me, maybe not a surprise to a lot of people, but how sad for our scientists and our people out there that are doing their work, and they are being not allowed to tell the truth. They're not being allowed to tell people what they're finding, and what they're finding is being changed. The wording's being changed. The reports are being sent out And he actually showed on TV last night where they went through and deleted right out of it. They put marks through the things they didn't want us to know and wrote on the side in handwritten handwriting what they, how they wanted it to be said in the reports. And finally, these people are being able to come out and tell us the truth. And this is just one of many. And personally, We know, we've all been hearing about global warming. We know, obviously, we have major, major earth changes. We have climate change. Everything is changing, and there's, you know, that's not a surprise because we're in the time of the shift. And I, you know, a lot of this is, these kinds of changes and warming have gone on in many, many years past. So it's not a phenomenon that's never happened here before on the planet. So how much of it is really man-made and contributing to it is really not known. A lot of it, I believe, is natural. It's part of the part of what, you know, goes on in our universe. But the point, it doesn't even matter if it was all human, if it was all being done with our fossil fuels and what we're doing. The point is that these people aren't being allowed to come out and tell us. So I thank these wonderful, brave souls. Another one, this man who came out on the show last night and who discussed it, got it out in the open, and hear ye, yay, 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 yay for you, and keep it up. And, you know, there's going to be more and more of it, and let's keep it going. I was glad to see it was a great show. I was glad to see 2020 did the show. And like I said, you can go to the Trusted News Trader, and there is some more information on there for you if you want to check it out and look. And I want to thank, I believe, Cliff. I'm looking here. God, Cliff, I'm sorry. It was Cliff, I believe, who posted that for us. And great job, White Raven, too. Great, great work. We thank you for that. Okay, now this came to me today. I had seen it, and then somebody emailed it to me. And they had asked me to read it, and I read it, and I do want to read it to you tonight. Dr. President Bush, this is from Truth Out. The website is called Truth Out, www.truthout.org. And you can go there. There's a lot of things there. You can get a copy of this letter. This came to them on Saturday, March 4th. It came to me today. This was forwarded from Marnie Harmony, the minister of a church in Orlando. Joe is the man who wrote this letter. He's one of her parishioners. This is a letter that he wrote to President Bush. I wanted to read it to you. It says, "Dear Mr. President, as a young man, I was honored to serve our nation as a commissioned officer and helicopter pilot in the U.S. Before me in World War II, my father defended the country, spending two years in the Pacific aboard the USS Horn. We were patriots sworn to protect and defend. Today, I concluded that you have dishonored our service and Constitution and principles of our oath. My dad was buried with full military honors, so I cannot act for him. For myself, I'm returning and enclosing the symbols of my years of service, the shoulder boards of my rank, and my naval wings. Until your administration, I believed it was inconceivable that the U.S. would ever initiate an aggressive preemptive war against a country that posed no threat to us. Until your administration, I thought it was impossible for our nation to take hundreds of persons into custody without provable charges of any kind, and to have them disappear in holes like Gitmo, Abu Ghraib, and Bagram. Until your administration, in my wildest legal fantasy, I could not imagine U.S. Attorney General seeking to justify torture or a president first stating his intent to veto an anti-torture law, adding a signing statement that he intends to ignore such law as he sees fit. I do not want these things. I do not want these things in my name. As a citizen, a patriot, a parent, and a grandparent, a lawyer and law teacher, I am left with such a feeling of loss and helplessness. I think of myself as a good American, and I ask myself, what can I do when I see the face of evil and immoral war, torture and confinement for life without trial, have never been part of our constitutional tradition? My vote has become meaningless because I live in a safe district drawn by your political party. My Congress is unresponsive to my concerns because its time is filled with lobbyist games. Protests are limited to your safe zones out of sight of the parade. Even speaking openly is to risk being labeled un-American, pro-terrorist, or against our troops. And I am a disciplined pacifist, so any violent act is out of the question. Nevertheless, to remain silent is to let you think I approve or support your actions. I do not. So I am saddened to return to you my wings and bars. They were hard won, and my parents and wife were as proud as I was when I earned them some 40 years ago. But I hate the torture and death you have caused more than I value their symbolism. Giving them back to you makes me cry for my beloved country. Joseph W. Durocher. And once again, if you want to read that, it's on www.truthout.org. And all of us, whatever area of your life that, whatever, you know, these, all these things that are going on, there's so much. My heart's hurting. What we are going through is, we're taking our blinders off. It is time for us to take our blinders off and to see things for how they really are. And that's what we're going through right now. It's not a scary thing. It is a wonderful thing. It's not that it's going to be easy. It's not that it's going to something we're just going to fly through, but it's necessary for us. We need to see. We need to open our eyes. We need to embrace what we see. And then we can say, what can I do? What can I do as a human being to make this better, to share my truth? And what everything is enveloped in love. Everything is love. And when things start to come up as they are right now, like I said, because there's so much light coming into our planet, we're going to see more and more and more of this. And if there's any one thing that hits you in your face, you know, and we all have our reflection that hits us. For this man, it's this. He was in the service. This is his. We all have ours, whatever it is. Embrace it. Put your arms around it and embrace it. Your eyes are open. You're seeing the truth. Take it within, say, now, okay, what can I do here? One loving thing changes everything. One loving thought, one loving action. For this man, his place from his heart was to give back his symbols of his service and to write this letter. That came from his heart. That's the one thing that he could do. I'm not saying by reading this one letter that it's going to change the world. But look, I am reading it right now on my radio show. And that's, we have so much power. It's who we are. It's why I always say we are sweet souls of light divine. We are that light divine. We're connected to the one mind. We are part of that one mind. And we have all the power we need within us. And it's all about love. It's all about love. So when you see these things coming, as they start to appear on your TV, and there's any one thing that appears in front of you and you are feeling, oh my gosh, what can I do? Go within and ask yourself, what is one act of love I could do right now? Maybe it's just to turn around and send a loving email to a friend. Maybe it's to go look out your window and see the light around all of the world in your trees and look at it and go, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for the gift of love. It's that easy. Today I had before the show, it was about 2:00 this afternoon, and I've noticed now before my shows, all of a sudden, I will get this wave of intense energy, and I start to get, and I thought it was because I was nervous, but I wasn't nervous, and I knew I wasn't, but my hands were shaking, and my body was vibrating. And I just went to myself, you know, I don't like this. I don't like this part. So I went in, got down, opened my palms, grounded myself to the floor. Imagine the white light coming down from the top of my head, down through my body, out through the bottoms of my feet, down into the earth, because that's who we are. We are communication tools. We are not our bodies. You know, we are huge energy, light energy, love energy. And we're in our earth spacesuits. My kids laugh, but that's what I call it. So we're here in our earth spacesuits. Well, my suit was just vibrating like crazy, and I was uncomfortable and not happy. And so I went in, and I just went within. I got quiet. I imagined the light coming down and grounding me onto the floor just where I was sitting. Put my palms up. Put your palms up. It's important. Got up a few minutes later, started to walk around, and I was at peace. What I had done was I pulled all that energy down in through my vehicle, my energy body, down through me, down into the ground, into the earth. And I was immediately at peace. And I'm sharing that with you only because it's that simple. It's that simple. If you're feeling anything like that, if you're feeling ungrounded, if you're feeling fearful, take 5 minutes. You don't have to do it for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. There's so much light on the planet right now, and our hearts are so open, more than ever before. Go in, sit down, go within your heart. All knowledge is within your heart. All knowledge lives within your heart. Go in and sit down and relax and call in the energies and feel them. And when you're done, you will feel wonderful. And my computer just sang a song to me, so maybe they're telling me I just said a wonderful thing. I hope so. Okay, on to my next topic. I, about a week ago, had talked to you about 9/11 being a stepping stone for truth. It brought so much compassion to our world. And compassion, as we give out compassion, the earth, we are all one with the earth, and the compassion went everywhere. I also believe another part of the stepping stone for 9/11 is that when the truth comes out about 9/11, it will be, I think, the greatest stepping stone that we have that will break apart a lot of the dark, a lot of the things that are not true. I found this website. It's called Scholars for 9/11 Truth, www.scholarsfor911truth.org. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. It's a group of distinguished experts and scholars, including Robert Bowman, James Fetzer, Wayne Matson, John McCurdy, Morgan Reynolds, and Andreas van Bulow. They have concluded that senior government officials have covered up crucial facts about what really happened on 9/11. They have joined in with others in common cause as members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth because they are convinced, based on their own research, that the administration has been deceiving the nation about critical events in New York and Washington, D.C. And it goes on to say, they have found the government's own investigation to be severely flawed. The 9/11 Commission, designated to investigate the attack, was directed by Philip Zelikow, part of the Bush transition team in the NSA sector and co-author of a book with Condoleezza Rice. Now, this is the person who is running the investigation. Not too funny, is it? A Bush supporter and director... These guys never cease to amaze me. A Bush supporter and director of national security affairs, he could hardly be expected to conduct an objective and impartial investigation. They have discovered that the 9/11 Commission report is replete with omissions, distortions, and factual errors, which David Ray Griffin has documented in his book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. The official report, for example, entirely ignores the collapse of WTC-7, a 47-story building, which was hit by no airplanes, was only damaged by a few small fires, and then fell 7 hours after the attack. The reason I'm reading this to you, I wanted to read you, here are some of the considerations that these experts and scholars find profoundly troubling. And that's the reason I'm going with this. I wanted to read these to you. I believe a lot of this is going to be coming out. I found it very interesting. I thought you might. In the history of structural engineering, steel frame high-rise buildings have never been brought down due to fires, either before or since 9/11. So how can fires have brought down 3 in one day? How is this possible? The next one. The BBC has reported that at least 5 of the 19 alleged hijackers have turned up alive and well, living in Saudi Arabia. Yet according to the FBI, they were among those killed in the attacks. How is this possible? Frank DeMartini, a project manager for the WTC, said the buildings were designed with load redistribution capabilities to withstand the impact of airliners, whose effects would be like puncturing mosquito netting with a pencil. Yet they completely collapsed. How is this possible? Next one. Since the melting point of steel is about 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit, the temperature of jet fuel fires does not exceed 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. Under optimal conditions. And let's see, the UL certified that the steel used to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit for 6 hours. The buildings could not have collapsed due to heat from the fires. They never got above 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit is what they're saying. The next one is Flight 77, which allegedly hit the building, left the radar screen in the vicinity of the Ohio-Kentucky border, only to reappear in very close proximity to the Pentagon shortly before impact. How is this possible? Foreign terrorists who were clever enough to coordinate hijacking four commercial airliners seemingly did not know that the least damage to the Pentagon would be done by hitting its west wing. How is this possible? Well, I'll tell you, I could just see these guys sitting in their cave over there figuring this all out, can't you? Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. Okay. Secretary of Transportation Norman Mineta, in an underground bunker at the White House, watched Vice President Cheney castigate a young officer for asking, as the plane drew closer and closer to the Pentagon, "Do the orders still stand?" he asked President Cheney, Vice President Cheney. "The order cannot have been to shoot it down, but must have been the opposite." The orders still standing were not to shoot it down. A former inspector general for the Air Force has observed that Flight 93, which allegedly crashed in Pennsylvania, should have left debris scattered over an area less than the size of a city block. Instead, it was scattered over an area of about 8 square miles. Next, a tape recording of interviews with air traffic controllers on duty on 9/11 was deliberately crushed, cut into very small pieces, and distributed in assorted places to ensure its total destruction. How is this possible? The Pentagon conducted a training exercise called MASCAL, M-A-S-C-A-L, simulating the crash of Boeing 757 into the building on October 24, 2000. And yet Condoleezza Rice, among others, has repeatedly asserted that no one ever imagined a domestic airplane could be used as a weapon. And yet the Pentagon conducted a training exercise called MASCAL, simulating the crash of a Boeing 757 into the building on October 24, 2000. Their own physics research has established that only controlled demolitions are consistent with the near-gravity speed of fall and virtually symmetrical collapse of all three of the WTC buildings. While turning concrete into very fine dust, they fell straight down into their own footprints. These experts and scholars have found themselves obliged to conclude that the 9/11 atrocity represents an instance of the approach, which has been identified by Karl Rove, the president's closest advisor, of creating our own reality. I read some of those things, and I was appalled, and they all make sense to me, and I found any one of these aspects will probably be one of the ones that will come out and start. This is all going to come out. It won't be too long. It'll start coming out, because a lot of the people involved in this are people that, like I said, have been sitting on that fence. And that fence has been really crowded, you guys, really crowded with fence sitters. And they've been sitting there because they're scared. And don't we all understand fear? I understand fear. The first time I did this radio show, I walked through rings of fear, rings of fear. So I have compassion for all these people. I'm not judging anybody for anything. I just would like to see it come to the light of day. And hopefully a lot of people will get to feel the inclination to get out there what needs to get out, and then we can all embrace it and we can move on. And that's what I'd like to talk about the last few minutes of the show. I want to give out my phone number here once again, too, in case anybody wants to call. And I'm doing what I always do. I just can't find it. Okay, it's 1-888-268-4313 or 1-530-876-3222. Just thought I'd give that number out again in case anybody'd like to call in. We're going to have what I call the blank spaces. Blank spaces are wonderful. That's where we create. We create in those blank spaces. And they come from, as we transform these things, as we transcend them. Like, let's say, a big one is what's going on with our lobbyists. Our lobbyists and our elected officials, our elected officials that make millions of dollars, like Donald Rumsfeld. Just recently, I just read an article about Donald Rumsfeld making, he made $5 million from his company that he's involved with, the pharmaceutical company that's involved with the bird flu vaccine. This one just got me. I have to tell you. The bird flu vaccination, he is part of this company, a major player in the company. And so he's just made $5 million in the last year with his hype about the bird flu and the vaccine. I don't know about all of you, but I would like to create a new blank space, and I'd like to tell you what I'd like it to be. We are the creators, and so we can envision this. We don't need leaders and people in Congress that are associated with major corporations. We don't need people who make millions of dollars because they are a part of something that is created in order to make the money. I'm tired of it. I'm sure all of you are tired of it. And it needs to stop. I don't want to elect people anymore that are involved with lobbyists. I don't want to elect people anymore that make any more than the salary they're paid to be the president, vice president, or whatever position that they're going to hold. And then when they retire, we can give them $1 million and say, thanks for a great job. Have a wonderful life. We create that space. We can create that space. As this all comes to the forefront and as the light comes to all of it, it's going to break up. And we are going to have an opportunity. This is our country. We are going to have an opportunity to make a new creation of what we want our government to be. That's what I believe is our part. Whatever that part is that you feel you can do, whether it's to send an email to Congress, whether it's to, you know, write a loving letter to somebody, whatever you feel is your part, we are all parts of the whole. I'm doing my part right here just by getting on and giving up my time and sharing with you my thoughts and feelings. And that it's that simple. It is that simple. But I'd like to see a new vision. We need a new vision for our country. We are being bombarded with so much, so much. And we all have children and grandchildren, and we are Americans. And so we're going to have a lot of blank spaces. I call them the blank spaces. It's where we're going to put new creation. And so together, let's create something wonderful and beautiful. And we can do that. We can do that. Hey, and if you like my idea, let me know. No more elected officials that belong to any corporations, banks, pharmaceutical companies, stock companies, on and on and on and on. It's such a conflict of interest. Think about it. It totally does not make one bit of sense. It just doesn't. So anyway, that was my thought on that. Okay, and I was just, what else would I like to talk to you about? I have a last few more minutes here. Again, I wanted to, I know. In closing, I want to read you a little something. I spoke to you, all of you, last time I was on with Nancy Tate, and she does the wake-up calls, and they're just beautiful. They are channeled. She channels entities that are a beautiful and beautiful spirit, because I read her writings and they're beautiful. And I'd like to read this to you tonight before I close. And this was a wake-up call that I got today. It says, my dear ones in the world of transformation, I come to you today with a message of hope. And more than that, I come to you with a message of surety, for all there is truth. With this truth, you can move mountains and you can swim seas of information and come out with a deeper understanding of what is upon you in these days. I am Sananda, and on this day, there are many issues that are facing the world and her people. These issues are the ones that are clearing out the muck of the eons of tribulation on Earth. As you undergo the living of these energies of change, you are reliving some of the obstacles to your light that you brought to the experience of being in duality on Earth. In other words, as within, so without. As our planet, as the total consciousness, the mass consciousness, is experiencing the consequences, the thought forms that are coming back at us of, you know, just mass consciousness, all the what's been put out. It's coming up to all be cleared. That's how we're going to ascend. We can't ascend unless we break up the dark and move into the light. So as that's going on, you are going to be experiencing all of your lives, all of your energy coming to you to be cleared. And if you have been feeling and going through days of feeling overwhelmed, having issues come to face you in your everyday life right in front of you, those are direct reflections of what is happening within. And I had to learn this the hard way, but it's very, very true. I've been doing this for 2 years, and I can tell you I have changed my outer world. And I have done it by honoring what my outer world was showing me that was coming from within me, from my inner world. And so as these things come up in this time of the change, and we are in it, and right now we're also Mercury's in retrograde, so there's a lot of this going on. As these things become your reflection in your outer world, and when something out in your outside of yourself hits you, it'll be a hit. You'll feel like, oh, it's yours. Own it. Embrace it, whatever it is. ask for the truth of it, take it within yourself, honor it, and give it to the light. That is how we transform ourselves and our planet and our earth. We can't do it with our blinders on, you guys. The blinders have to come off now. It's time. It's time for us to open our eyes. Whatever is in our outside reality as our one consciousness that we are. If we start changing our outer world in our own life by honoring what we see, knowing it's our own, bringing it within, transforming it and giving it to the light, as your outer world starts to change, as mine has, everybody else's does, and that's how we're going to change the world. We're not going to change it by keeping our heads in the sand. We're not going to change it by denying our emotions and by denying our pain. You got to get in there, guys. You got to do the work. You got to get in there. You got to feel it. You got to own it and then send love to it. It's really, really simple. Sometimes it hurts, but it's simple. Send your love and light to it. Give it to whether you want to call it your Holy Spirit, your higher self, God, whatever you feel works for you, and you will start to see your world change. And the reason I'm talking about this tonight, I have a purpose of it. We are in the time of the great change. We're all in it together. And I'm only here to share this with you because I, for the last 2 years, have been doing it. I know it's real. I know it's true. And I want to give it out there to all of you. And this is all coming from my heart. It is my truth. And I just want to tell all of you, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to my radio tonight, my show. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to do this. I don't always like to have to get into the topics that I do because they don't make me feel good either. But then what's going on? So let's just take it straight on and let's bring a lot of love and light into our world, into our inner world, to our families, to our children. It's who we are. We are only love. And when you feel love, when you feel that feeling of love, that's who you are. So take it within and know that's who you are and try to live your life in that feeling. And whatever it means you need to do to feel it, do it. It's just that simple. Okay, so thank you all for being here tonight. I'll be on again Friday night, I believe, at 6 o'clock. Same time, same station. It's been a pleasure having you all here tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Have a great night and a great week, and God bless you. And remember, remember, we are all sweet souls of light divine. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
I love you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.